One more. It's real fun. Is it going? Oh, is it? Yeah, it's on. Yeah.
I would have one, but just.
No, I ain't come back. You.
That maybe it's a bit of a light question, but you know, since I'm here, I've kind of weird dreams, and I don't know, because you would assume that, like on Radhakund, like since a few days, so you would assume that you're on Radhakund, and you have also very spiritual dreams in a way. So I don't have, I don't have at all.
Yeah. So what's the question?
The question is why? I mean, somehow or other, I thought like that not just during the daytime you have, you know, you take bath and you have a very spiritual. Activities going on, but during night you're totally somewhere else.
Like that. Dreams are a little strange sometimes. I'm here in Radhakund. I'm sleeping in this holy dham of Radhakund, the holiest of holy places. But yet, in my mind, at night when I'm sleeping, I have rather strange occurrences. Why is that happen? There's different factors that influence the content of our dreams, and one is the place of our dreams. So you're discussing the place. The place is the transcendental abode of Radha and Krishna, Radhakund. But then in the place, there's also, so this place is transcendental, and this is the holy dham, and Nitya Leela is going on here in Radhakund and all of Brajmandal. The aprakat lila, the unmanifested pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Aprakat. Prakat means prakash, manifested. So the lilas are going on, the atmosphere is totally transcendental, but there's a covering. That's why it's called aprakat, because there's a mayak covering. The three modes of nature are covering the dham. Like there's water in a lake, and the water is crystal clear and totally pure, rare lake to find. Crystal clear and totally pure, this water in the lake. But it's covered with small little green leaves, an entire film of little green leaves, little tiny moss or some kind of green thing here or there. And someone comes and looks, oh, that water's dirty. All little tiny green little leaves. Like Surabhikund. Surabhikund is a kund. Surabhikund. And Govardhan Prikamarg near Punchari. A tail. Southwest corner of Govardhan Prikamarg. And sometimes they're all little green things there from the trees or whatever. So people come. I've been there on Yatra with hundreds of people. Oh, it's all dirty. But you go there and push your hands like this, and like this, like that, all the green goes away, and you put your hands in the water like this. It's like ice cubes, like crystal clear. Crystal clear, cool, clean, refreshing, very nice. So this covering of that water, the green little leaves, little covering, it is like the maya covering on Vrindavan. You just brush away that maya covering, and then you get the pure waters of ras, bhakti ras. This is some Giriraj's perfume. You know?
Nice.
You know perfume?
Yeah. Nice. Thank you so much. Jai Giriraj.
Jai Giriraj. So this is a transcendental dham, but there is this little covering. Now that covering is what causes us problems. In perception, we cannot perceive the reality of the existence of the dham, just like you can't perceive the reality, the true reality of the pure water of the kund, because it's covered with all these little green leaves. So you have misjudgment. You can't perceive the reality, so you make misjudgment. And you think, oh, this water is contaminated, this water is dirty, see all these green things. So the same thing that this Vrindavan is Vishuddha Sattva, totally transcendentally pure and good, and all wonderful dreams and wonderful experiences are going on the aprakrita level or aprakat level, transcendental level. But in that holy dham, there's the maya covering. Then in that holy dham of Radhakund, there's the place. The place is Radhakund, but then the place in the place. That means the house you're living in, or the room you're living in. The house may be ghostly haunted. If it's a guest house, public guest house, many people die in those rooms, that room or the next room. Old people come, yatris come, they die, whatever. So the ghosts, sometimes they're still moving there, in that place. The ghost is in that building, or in that room. So anyone that goes and stays there, or many people, may have some experience with a bad dream because of the place. It's not Radhakund, it's the house or the dharmashala or the guest house inside of Radhakund. I know there are places like that myself. And the next thing is the condition. What influences our dreams is the place and our condition. If we're not clean, if we're not, body is not clean, or the bedding is not clean, or our clothes are not clean, or then we can, it can influence the, that's more tamagun. We're surrounding ourselves in more ignorance or tamagun, which invites negative beings and negative experiences in our subtle body, in our mind. And the other thing is, we may be drooling when we're sick. We may be sick or have a stuffed up nose. You're lying like this, I mean, mouth open and little saliva coming out. That's called drooling. Drooling. It's an English word. Drooling. Dripping, you know, drooling. So they, subtle beings, they enter the body through that saliva. Or if your mouth, when you sleep on your back and your mouth is open, you're snoring, open mouth, they come through. So if one is in a very, it's clean condition, you should lie on your side with your mouth closed. It may be the place is like that. It's there's negative vibrations in the place and are influencing your experience while you're dreaming. So then to counteract that, you can entirely clean the whole room, or get Ganga water, sprinkle Ganga water around the windows and corners of the room before sleeping. Chant mantras, light incense, ring bells. These are all auspicious things. Chanting, they purify the atmosphere before resting. Light some incense, a ring bell, conch shell. These sounds are very, they drive away the negative beings. That's why in all Indian temples, all across India, there's called Sandhya Arti. Sandhya means juncture. Tri Sandhya Vandanam. There's three Sandhyas. There's morning, night to day, day to noon, and day to night. Basically two. When the day is concluded, the sun sets, then it's night. Night is beginning. Shamko and Ratko. So the Ratri Leela, late at night, Shamko, sunset. Shayanarti. So at sunset, Shayan time, everywhere, all temples are ringing bells. Ding, 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 dong, 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 ding, dong, ding. So many bells. One gong, dong, 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 dong. Dun, 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 and then a bell, ding, 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 many bells. And then arti, and more bell, and incense, and agarbati. Why? Because at sunset is when all the subtle beings wake up. What is night for all beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled. What is a time of sleeping for the self-controlled, like this, opposite. So the Rajasic, sattvic beings, living entities, their day is from sunrise to sunset. Human beings, animals, birds. And then the tamasic beings, their day, their life is sunset to sunrise. So there's an artik at sunrise, and there's an artik at sunset. I have an artik at sunset. So that's why all these, because they go out of, they fly away from there. Because they're waking up, oh, don't go there, they go somewhere else, where it's very quiet, a little dirty, and so these are some physical considerations of the place. And then the other thing is the patra, or the individual person, his own conscious situation. He may be feeling good and having good thoughts while he's awake, but he's being haunted by the negativity of his karma. So our karma fructifies and gives us experiences in the physical body and mental body. The physical body may be doing good. Health is good, digestion is good. We're here visiting India, we're doing all right. Because it was our karma, our destiny to have good health during this trip. So that's going on. But it was also our destiny this time in our life to have bad dreams. That's also there. So it's a very complicated science, the cause of dreams. But these are some thoughts that have been written down, which I've read about this. Basically, to try to improve the situation. Always, everything should be very clean. Room is clean, the bedding is clean, clothes are clean, body is clean, and then atmosphere is clean by these measures, incense, bells, sounds and smells, and then your own chanting of mantras before you rest, and prayer. It's told, Jyotishis have told me that in previous ages, can you see about the gate? Someone came in the gate. Can you just see? Chokidar's inside. And one lady left. I don't know what she did. Jyotishis say, this would be the last thing, it's late now. They say that in other yugas, previous yugas, there was remedial measures to deal with planetary problems. We have problems with our chart, you know, our destiny chart, our horoscope, they call it horoscope, birth chart. One could wear jewels, it's called gem therapy, pearl rings and rubies and all these things. Could wear jewels or do yagyas or big pujas and homas. Try to counteract the negativity of the planets or our own destiny and karma. There's different, wear different things and a little this and that, whatever. But he said, in this age, Kali Yuga, none of these things work. They don't work. No one can afford real jewels, and the real jewels aren't available. Many problems. But what actually works, the only thing that actually works in Kali Yuga is mantras and prayers. Praying and chanting mantras. It's quite big on the internet. You'll see so many mantras are discussed. So any kind of karmic problems we're having, the best way to solve those karmic problems is by chanting mantras and by praying. So of course, if you get down to it, you narrow it down one more, you go down one more notch, and well, what's the best of all mantras? Almost all roads lead to Rome, right? So the best of all mantras is the Maha Mantra. So what's the solution to all problems? What's the panacea to all difficulties? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this is, we're laughing, and it sounds so basic, because it's so familiar to us, but the chanting of Krishna's holy name in every circumstance, in every time and place, is without a doubt the best thing we could ever do for ourselves, individually or for anyone, collectively. Best thing for the environment, best thing for our room, best thing for our brain, best thing for our dreams. Some people listen to tapes of chanting when they sleep. I can't do that. I'm too distracted. But they put on a Prabhupada little box or something. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like that. And they just, it's like lullaby. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They go to sleep. It's nice. I can't personally do that. But if you can, that's very nice. Have your Gurudev's chanting or some chanting and loop type thing. It goes around and around. You know, press some button and it just keeps repeating it. I know I've been, I mean, I'm living in Vrindavan, I've gone to different places and on yatras and stay in some place, and then I had some funny dream. And next day, and it's a holy place. The next day I talk to the people that own the place. I say, no, I think this room is some problem. And the guy starts laughing. He says, yeah, some yatri committed suicide there about 5 years ago. I said, well, why did you give me that room? He said, well, I thought you were a big saint, wouldn't have any problem. And I said, okay, I don't know what I am, but I don't, give me another room. So the rooms are like this, you know. Like, you know, it's like everything. It's my fault, it's your fault. You know, it's my fault, it's your fault, it's their fault. You know, we always try to figure out the cause of something. You know, if there's difficulty, what's the cause of my difficulty? Is it me? Is it you? Is it both of us? Is it the place? Because that's what you're saying. Well, what's the cause? You know, Radhakund is a spiritual place, and it's all divine and wonderful, and all everywhere bells are ringing everywhere, all over the place. Thousands of bells everywhere. Everywhere you look, someone's ringing bells. So, lots of incense, lots of bells, like you said, and lots of mantras. But still, I have the bad dream. So maybe you have to have some mantras and bells in your room where you're staying or something. At any rate, it just makes you appreciate being awake more. When you have a bad dream, then you appreciate being awake. Isn't it? The whole idea is controlling the mind. Because if you're awake and your mind's not controlled, you're also having a bad dream. That's a good statement. If you're awake, sometimes we have bad dreams. Sometimes you have bad dreams, but if you're awake and you can't control your mind, you're also having a bad dream. But it's in your mind, it's not going the way you want. When you're dreaming, a bad dream means you're sleeping and it's not going the way you want it. You're getting chased by a tiger, or you're getting beat up, or whatever crazy thing it is. It ends up you call a bad dream. And no one likes the bad, everyone likes the good. So the whole idea is setting the thoughts straight. I know many devotees, before they take rest, they actually program, it's like sleep teaching. They program their mind, they wind down their mind. Kind of like, you know these jet planes? You're flying in a jet, and then he lands in the airport, and he stops, and they turn off the engine, and the thing keeps turning around for days. You look out the window, you know, it's already off. It's just going so many fast revolutions. You know, the jet propeller or whatever is in there, you know, fan blades. Yeah, there's some fan in there cooling off the motor. So finally it stops. So the... I forget the analogy, what I was thinking, but before they take rest, they pray to Krishna, oh Krishna, if I made any offenses, please forgive me for my offenses to the Dham or to the devotees. Please bless me. I'd like to dream something of my guru, or this, I went to this beautiful place, or I saw these beautiful deities, Radharaman. Please arrange that they can appear in my mind. So you're consciously preparing your mind and setting your mind in a very... You're tuning your mind for sleeping. Tuning your mind for sleeping. I can say it like that. Okay, I'm tired. Go, psh, you know. It's like that also. You know, you just get pretty exhausted being in a foreign place and doing everything you do. But at least there's a minute or two, sometime, maybe longer time, or sometime, if you're more conscious, not totally exhausted, and just crash, bathe and lie down, you're out. Then you just sit, you bathe, you sit on your bed, and it's a time for quiet reflection. Because there's no guarantee. It's called Ardha Pralaya. It's called partial devastation. Just like there's in the day of Brahma, everything is destroyed, half the universe. At the end of his life, then the whole thing is destroyed. So it's called Mahapralaya. Pralaya and Mahapralaya. So in Yoga Shastras, they say that when one is sleeping, that's called Pralaya, destruction. And when one dies, that's called Mahapralaya. Because this body is finished then. And the soul goes on and again there's manifestation. So the universe is withdrawn into the body of Vishnu, of Vyakta, Avyakta. Vyakta means manifest, Avyakta means unmanifest. So all the thousands of universes come out, they're manifest. And that's called waking, when you wake up. And then it's all withdrawn in this body, that's sleeping. So when we sleep every night, we don't know whether we're going to wake up. There's no guarantee. The night, that night, those moments before you close your eyes may be your last moments in this body. And when next time, when you open your eyes, you're in another body. It's 1 year will pass from the time you die to enter a new body. But it would seem like a blinking of an eye. But it would be 1 year of time. It takes 1 year to travel to Yamapuri, then judgment, and wherever you go, and the next body, whatever, hell, whatever, it all happens in 1 year. It's in Garuda Purana. English, it's also in English. Download it. Yeah. I guess. Many interesting details there. So therefore, having that awareness and knowledge, one takes his living time very seriously, his conscious time, and he takes his unconscious time very seriously also. Because it's important. I know many great devotees have told me these things about, tuning the mind for sleeping. The prey. And with that, when one, in other words, when one, before sleeping, if one adjusts his consciousness and his mind with all kinds of spiritual vibration, Prabhupada, he understood the concept, it appears to me. Because in the very earliest days of ISKCON, I mean, at least it was already quite in place when I joined, is that the devotees would always listen to Krishna book before they took rest. I joined in 1975 and was initiated then, Los Angeles, America. But I was visiting a temple and I knew devotees from 74 and they told me this scene. And this is what I experienced, that we would sit there, you know, we all get our sleeping bags out, we slept on the floor, then some devotee would read Krishna book to us. And he would be like last one to rest, you know. He would say, okay, I'll read for, you know, 15 minutes and then everybody should be out. Most everybody, within 1 minute, everybody was out. So tired. Get up so early and all day running. Well, within 15 minutes, we're quiet. So we were just, we made it like that. And for many years, I remember that I used to play a tape, you know, a lecture tape, a morning walk tape with an endless loop a little next to my. So 45 minutes would play and then repeat while I was sleeping. You know, 4 or 5, whatever, 6 hours. I used to, all night long, I listened to lectures. It didn't disturb me. Now I get, I'm too old or whatever, I can't do like that. But for many years I did that. And I would wake, the next day when I'm walking around, the verses would from the tape would stick in my brain that I had heard in the nighttime. You know, they'd say sleep teaching. They have these concepts of sleep teaching. You want to learn French, you put on the CD and go, oh, parlez-vous français. They have these ideas. Sometimes it works. Rarely it works, and it does work sometimes. And so devotees can be a little intelligent. And, you know, devoted life is a very serious life. That's why it's not so much for everybody. One has to be a serious yogi. A yogi is in command. Yogi is in command. Yogini, female. Yogi is in command of his mind and senses. Time is the kala factor. Kala, time. So time is the greatest yogi. Kalishwar, Mahayogi, is time. So any small yogi, manush yogi, human yogi, manush, he tries to control and utilize his time as best he can. This is a symptom of Bhava Bhakti and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Kalatvam. Kalatvam, that he utilizes every moment in the service of Krishna. We read the stories of the great devotees would even dream about Krishna. Leela. So that's on the high end of, that means finely, highly tuned consciousness. Krishna conscious awake and Krishna conscious asleep. Long ago, I was on a train in India, 1986 or so, and 85 on one of my visits before I moved here. I was sitting with some Indian gentleman on the train, and he said, "So you're a sannyasi, you're preaching this, that, ISKCON in 1985. And I said, yeah. So he said, when you dream of Krishna? I said, not so much, not so easy. Very rarely I've had a dream of deities or whatever. Well, honestly speaking. He says, then what kind of devotee are you? I said, yeah, I have the same question you have. What kind of devotee am I? I don't know. But so he said, if you're a real bhakt, if you're a real bhakt, they say bhakt, they don't say a bhakt, they say bhakt, B-H-A-K-T, bhakt. The A is silent. That's the way the Hindi people say bhakt. If you're real Vishnu bhakt, Krishna bhakt, and we say bhakta, like, it's not a long A anyway, it's bhakta, bhakta. Yeah, it's short, bhakta. Anyway, so you should be dreaming of Krishna, otherwise you're like an ordinary person. Trinada Peace Nation. I didn't argue. He's a gentleman, and I see you're right. I don't have. He said, if you're supposed to be a bhakti, you're supposed to have devotion, love for Krishna. You should be dreaming of Krishna. First I ever heard. It was quite, you know, cutting to the quick. You know, well, you know, the truth hurts, but it's good to be hurt sometimes. It's good to face the truth. Then we get in gear, get serious. Like, wait a minute, I have to kick, you know, get going here. Start again or double my speed. So the only recourse we have is to turn to prayer, because who can control their mind? Arjuna is complaining in Gita, Chanchalam Himana Krishna. Controlling the mind is more difficult to control than the wind. It's chanchal. Chanchal means, you know, butterfly, Tinkerbell or something. Walt Disney's little Tinkerbell. You know, like a butterfly. You ever see a butterfly? You know, he's going all around the garden. He's here, there, everywhere. So our mind is like a butterfly. You know, sometimes the butterfly's up there on the tree getting some flowers. The next thing, he's walking on the ground. They're all over the place. You ever try to watch a butterfly? You know, they're like, wow. So the mind is like that. So we have to control it. Very difficult to control. Only Rishikesh, only Krishna can control the mind. Rishikesh. So before we take rest, in a day we're praying to Krishna, please control my mind. Krishna. Now we have some conscious control over our mind. But we're only able to have any serious spiritual control over our conscious waking mind is because we have the additional help of God and Krishna. Because Krishna and God are helping us, we're able to have more conscious control over our minds when we're waking. Karmis don't have the help of God or Krishna or Guru. So their minds are crazy, you know. They'll see anything, do anything, they're unpredictable. Because they can't control the mind. So we're supposed to have that much conscious waking control. Now when we take rest, now it's like, oh, where's Guru? Where's Krishna? There's Krishna's still there, Guru's still there. But I'm not conscious. I'm unconscious. Now all my subtle body comes into play. All my aparabdha karma, all my karmas are there. And then it's rising on the surface of my mind and appearing as a dream. The other point is, if you sleep late at night, you tend to have more negative dreams. If you go to take rest, 11, 12, 1. The tendency is to have more negative dreams at that time. If you're lying down and sleeping by 9 or 10 maximum, much that's proven much less negative dreaming. Because by the time the negative forces and beings become very active and prominent and prolific, which is 11 p.m. on, you're already very deep and a subtlety of sleep, a tamagun, which is kind of a shield.
So you're far out.
Yeah, you're too far gone. Because dreams are happening, on a very superficial level. You know, there's four states of consciousness. One is called Jagrata, one is called Swapna, one is called Jagrata, Swapna, then Turiya is the last one, and Susupti. Jagrata, Swapna, Susupti, and Turiya. There's four states of consciousness. Jagrata means Jeev Jago means Jeev Jago, Jeev, living entity, Jago, wake up. Jagrata means waking conscious, like now we're a Jagrata state, to some extent. Maybe sleeping also, whatever. It's okay. So Jagrata. Then the next state is Swapna. It's called Swapna. Swapna means dream. Just below that. And then below that, lower than that, lower. There's three states of unconsciousness, and once there's four states of consciousness. Three are unconscious. One is conscious. One is conscious, awake, alert, somewhat whatever we are. That's called Jagrata. Then Swapna is when we fall asleep. That's when there's you're not in goodness, you're sleeping. You're in passion, ignorance. So dreams are all happening, and it's called Swapna on that level. Then a very, very deep sound sleep, and that's Susupti. And Turiya is the third state of unconsciousness, the fourth state of consciousness, which is the deepest, most sublime, there, which hardly anyone ever enters. But there you have such an experience that you actually, it's called like out-of-body experience. That when you wake up, you think, oh, I understand it. I understand the difference between the body and the self and the Atma. You can actually experience God realization in a Turiya state of unconsciousness. Turiya. Turiya means transcendental. So when you sleep late, then you're just, you know, you're just entering in the Swapna. When you're lying down at 11 or 12 or 1 or whatever, you're just entering the stage of Swapna when all the subtle beings are having, it's like party time. They've been up since sunset. Now it's midnight. It's like, you know, full on. There's like Brahma Muhurta and Rakshasa Muhurta. So after the whole holocaust, after the whole thunderstorm, then the sun comes out. So the sun is Brahma Muhurta. 2 hours before sunrise. But before that's Rakshash Muhurta, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. That's total darkness, total tamagun. So if you're to go to sleep by 9 or 10, you're practically down there in Susupti. Early to bed, early to rise. Makes one healthy, happy, and wise. American thing. Early to bed, early to rise. Makes one healthy, happy, healthy, and wise. You're from maybe Germany, different language. You have the same idea, maybe, something like that. And your own language. So it's true. But now with internet and surfing and email and unregulated life and everyone's cheaper rates at this time, they induce everybody to stay up late by saying, oh, if you talk between 1 a.m. and, you know, Rakshash, if you talk in Rakshash Muhurta, it's half price off, you know, or whatever. we'll save money. And then if you talk at the normal human time, you have to pay 10 times more. No, they cheat you like this. You know, so the whole arrangement of the communication and things is making people crazy. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam.